Any scripture tonight? Raise your hand, your first story, or the Bible story.
Good evening.
Good.
How's everybody doing?
Well.
Good, good. We've got my wife and I are doing a ministry, military ministry, at Fort Benning right now. So we bounce around. But Galatians 2:20 is the verse that really spawned 2:20 life. And you see the very first part here, I've been crucified with Christ. That's what 2:20 life is all about, is living this life. So that's really what we came up with. Paul, when he was doing ministry, was a tent builder. Paul had a regular job on top of the ministry that he did. And the reason that we wanted to do this and what I want you guys to know is I'm not a chaplain. I'm a regular soldier. This morning I said I have a regular job. A real job. I said I had a real job. But chaplain's got a real job too. But I'm a normal guy. I'm just like you guys. I love the Lord and I do ministry. You can do ministry as well. Just because you're not a chaplain, just because you're not a pastor, doesn't mean that you can't completely surrender to the Lord and serve Him just like Paul did. And that is what 2:20 life is all about. That's what we do in the military, in the army. We teach people to surrender and live a sold-out life to Jesus. So the motto that we've got is 220life.com, living a humble life of surrender. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, of what a humble life of surrender is all about. But before we go any further, I would like to pray just so that I don't mess things up tonight. I want to ask the Lord to remove me from this and that He would fill me with His Spirit. Otherwise, we'll get a bad message. We don't want that. So, if you join me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much, Lord. We come tonight before You humbly, Father, just begging You to reveal Yourself to us. Father, we ask that Your Spirit would come down and fill this place. Father, You promise us wherever two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are with us also. And Father, we beg You to be here with us. Lord, we ask that You would remove all of me. Don't let any of Jeff come out in this message, Lord. Father, we ask that You would use me, use my mouth, Lord, and send Your message through me. Father, speak directly to people's hearts. Fill us, Lord, and allow us to see a new piece of You that we've never seen before. Pull us closer to You, Lord, and give us a passionate love for You. Father, we love You so much. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. The next thing we need to do is I need to ask a couple questions. First question is, do I have any non-Christians, any non-believers in here? Good. I'm glad that we're all going to the same place when we die. How many Christians do I have? Awesome. Good. How many really good Christians do I have? Uh-oh. How many bad Christians do I have? All right. How many of you know someone who professes to be a Christian yet lives like the devil? Yep. How many of you guys are... No. have you guys ever wondered about that? Are those people actually Christians? Are those people going to heaven? I know the judgmental side of me in the past. I don't do this anymore. In the past, I was known for, look at that guy. He says he's a Christian, but you know, we know where he's going. And we'll even use scripture to say, he says, Lord, Lord, but he ain't going to go to heaven. You know, anybody ever been there before? Ever? Am I the only one? All right. Woo! I'm glad I'm not the only bad Christian. All right. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, about why we sometimes have Christians, true Christians, Christians who are going to heaven, why we sometimes have Christians who profess Jesus yet live like the devil. that's what we need to talk about tonight. All right? The first thing we need to discuss, though, when we look at Christians, what do you have to do to be a Christian? What? Yes, the only way to go to heaven. And what do? You believe in? You believe in Jesus. So when you believe in Jesus and you confess Him, you're a Christian. You're going to heaven, right? Look up Romans 10:9. Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's it, right? There's no other qualifying factor for you to be saved. So, in order to be a Christian, we've got Jesus on the cross, right? We believe in it. We believe in Jesus dying on the cross, raising for us. We confess it and we believe it. We're saved. Period. Right? Okay. I need 2 volunteers. I need 2 people to come up and help me out. Alright, we got 1. Alright, I need you to come up here. You're going to be over here. You're a non-Christian side right now. Other side, you're a non-Christian. You're over there. You're a non-Christian as well. Alright, you guys are both non-Christians, right? Okay. Now, what do we got to do to be a Christian? We believe in Jesus, we confess Him, and we believe, right? Okay, so you guys confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Come on over. It's that simple.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. All right, so these guys are both Christians now, right? As the Scripture says, Romans 10 says, they are now Christians. They are now going to heaven, right? Okay, so when we cross over from this side to this side, that's it. That's salvation. You are going to heaven. Jesus has saved you from hell. Now what we need to look at is our original question. One of these two Christians going to heaven, one of these two live like the devil. Who is it? Which one? Don't point at him. Don't point at him. All right. So we're going to... This is pretend now, all right? This Christian right here, this is an awesome Christian. This guy right here, he reads his Bible every day. Remember, this is pretend now. He reads his Bible every day.
I do.
He reads his Bible every day. He prays every day. He helps people. He gives to the church. This guy is a saint, right? All right, you come on over here. You're going to be on good Christian side. This guy, now remember, this is make-believe. This guy likes to drink a lot. He's borderline alcoholic. This guy cusses all the time. He can't say a single sentence without a swear word in it. He smokes. He is addicted to pornography. And sometimes, if the moon is right, he cheats on his wife too. Is he a Christian? We're not going to go there. All right. Scripture says he is. We made him pretty bad, but remember, this is make-believe. All right, he's over here. He's bad Christian. But he's right here. Now, what do we do with these two guys? Two completely different people, right? Two completely different people. One living like the devil. One living like a saint. But the Bible says if they both confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they're going to heaven. Scripture, as a matter of fact, even says that unless you have the Spirit, you can't confess Jesus is Lord. So both of these guys are confessing Jesus is Lord. What do we do with it? Somebody look up 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. And what we've got here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, is a letter from Paul to the church at Corinth. Paul is writing to believers in the church. You have it, Brother Stewart? All right, go ahead.
Brother, I cannot address you as spiritually, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, but you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly.
So, what Paul does here, I've been calling these two good Christian, bad Christian, but Paul calls them two other things. Paul says, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the world. I couldn't feed you meat, I had to feed you milk because you weren't ready for it. Does that sound familiar to what we've got up here? Yeah. So what we're going to call these guys, rather than good Christian, bad Christian, is we're going to use Paul's terminology. We're going to use spiritual Christian and worldly or carnal Christian. Carnal is of the world, things of the flesh. So we've got a carnal Christian here, someone who lives for his own desires. And we've got a spiritual Christian. We got one more verse. Hebrews 5, 12 through Hebrews 6, 1. It's like sword growth here. You got it? Alright.
Yep. Back there. By this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment.
Yeah. So what he's saying here, he says, in fact, though by now you ought to be a teacher of the law, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You should be eating meat, and you can eat nothing more than milk. Do you hear the frustration in his voice when he's writing this to them? These are Christians who are living like the devil. Now, maybe they don't have all this list, but they certainly have enough in their life that Paul tells them, you're living on milk. You're not where you need to be as a believer. You should have been growing by now. Do you see that? Do you hear that in his voice when he's writing to these people? He brings several things up, several characteristics, and we can point these out on both of these guys, and I'm going to bring out some characteristics here to show you what a carnal Christian and what a spiritual Christian look like, what some of the fruit in their life look like. Because really, those are the things that we can see. Our actions or our fruit, the things that we do, they represent where our heart is. So, what's one of the first things in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what was one of the first things that he brought up? What did he call them? Infants. Right? Infants. How many people have kids in here? Okay. So some of you've held babies before, right? Can you... have changed babies. What are some characteristics about babies? They're helpless. What else?
They cry.
What else do they do?
They're fed.
They cannot feed themselves. Yeah, they need nurturing. When you look at this, that they can't feed themselves, on the spiritual side, what is a spiritual infant? Someone who cannot feed themselves. A spiritual infant is someone who will always be running around
looking for someone else to feed them. They will go to a church, and when the pastor doesn't say something that they like, that guy doesn't feed me, I'm going to go somewhere else. And they'll start bouncing around looking for people to feed them, because all they can do is feed off of other people. An infant also can't eat meat. Right? What if you cut it up into little tiny pieces? Could a baby, an infant, a brand new infant, could an infant eat meat? No. Even if you cut it up, the infant is going to choke. Spiritually, the Bible has got some real chunks of meat in it. There are some deep, deep concepts that God has put in the Scripture. Some that we still can't even comprehend. Our smartest theologians just cannot comprehend some of the meat in the Scripture. And a spiritual infant will not understand any of that. They will not be able to take it. And if you try to feed it to them, they're going to choke. They're not going to be able to take it. Another thing that an infant does is an infant poops itself, right? That's what babies do. I've got four kids. I'm able to change my own kids. But when I babysit, all bets are off. That just grosses me out. I mean, the smell is like a gag, and I can't do it. It's gross. And how many people have had a baby poop itself and it just starts crying, right? The baby cries. Why? It doesn't like it, right? It doesn't like to be in its poop. Well, a spiritual infant also poos itself. It makes a mess. Because a spiritual infant doesn't understand the things of God. It's still a carnal Christian, living for its own desires. So it's going to do things that are contrary to what God wants. And when it does things that are contrary to what God wants, it's making a mess in its diaper. And it's going to cry and cry and cry until God changes it. You see that? That's a spiritual infant. The last thing is that a spiritual infant, it can't help anyone else. It can't even help itself. But let alone, it can't help anyone else. A spiritual infant will be someone that doesn't help anyone else. They can't eat meat, they can't feed themselves, they can't do anything. They're not going to be helping other people. They're going to be only for themselves. So the first characteristic that Paul brings out is an infant for the carnal Christian. An infant. The second one that we pull out is a continued sin and failure in their lives. It's represented in their lives. Continuous sin and failure. Am I the only person who has things in life that you've been trying to overcome that just kind of keep coming up and you keep battling with? Is there anyone else in that boat that tries to overcome certain things? Yeah. Those things come up. Now, a carnal Christian is going to continue to battle those same sins. And they're going to continue to fail over and over and over. If you've got a sin in your life that continues over and over and it doesn't get better, it's probably a characteristic of spiritual immaturity. Don't get me wrong. The spiritual Christian is not perfect. Jesus is perfect. Only Jesus. But the spiritual Christian may sin. They will sin, but when they sin, there's repentance, and there's a change of heart. And there's a growth beyond that. There's not continuous sin and failure. The carnal Christian will have continuous sin and failure. Somebody look up 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 16. first John is almost to the very end. It's right before Revelation. A couple books. We need somebody from this side. Go all the way over to Revelation and then turn back maybe 15 pages. First John 2, 15 through 16. You got it? So he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I know in America, materialism is rampant. Is rampant. We like our stuff. That's just the bottom line. We gotta have big screen TVs, we gotta have surround sound, we gotta have a nice car, we gotta have a nice house, we gotta have a boat, we gotta have a plane, we gotta have. Right? I mean, that's just the American way. You gotta have stuff. But that stuff, what does it do? It moves our focus off of Christ and onto us and our stuff. Materialism will move you to continuous sin and failure. When your focus is on yourself and on your stuff, you will sin and fail over and over and over again until you put your focus on Christ. That's number two, continued sin and failure. Somebody grab 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look around verse 8 to 10 in there. You got it? What do you got?
What you want is given, each one of them profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom to the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of
So what do we call those things? Gifts, right? They're gifts. But do we remember what we said about the church in Corinth? Paul wrote them and said, I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the world. But now he's saying that they've got these gifts operating in their church. So the third point that we've got here with carnal Christians is that you can have gifts without grace. It does not mean that you're spiritually mature just because you have a gift. God gives spiritual gifts to do His work in the world. So do not let a spiritual gift fool you into thinking you are further along in your spiritual maturity than what you are. Gifts without the grace is a lack in relationship with Jesus. That's what that is. Now, we've got three characteristics right now, right? Infancy, continued sin and failure, and a lack in relationship with Jesus. Who knows the first commandment God gave us? It's a fun commandment. It's a really good commandment. It's in Genesis 1:28. Do you know it? In the back. What is it? I saw you raising your hand. Go forth, be fruitful. Go forth, be fruitful, multiply. That was awesome. I saw you mouth it back there. You did it. You did it. You said it. All right. God says in Genesis 1:28, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. What is he talking about right there? Making babies, right? We love that. That's fun. That's good stuff. God tells us to do it. Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. But not only is he talking about making babies there. Do you know what else he's talking about? In John 15:8, it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, and so show yourselves to be my disciples. So what? You're not a disciple if you don't have a lot of babies? No. That's not what he's talking about. Spiritual children. He's talking about reproducing your spiritual growth in another person. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. If you don't know, Timothy was a younger guy who came after and followed Paul to learn all about him. And Paul says to him, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. If you didn't catch that, that's four generations of spiritual people. Paul to Timothy, to qualified men, to others. That's four generations. So, bear much fruit, and so show yourselves to be my disciples. God calls us to spiritually reproduce, to have spiritual children. Physically, not everybody can have kids. Am I right? Why not? Why can't people have kids? Maybe they're sick. Maybe their body, something is wrong with their body. Right? Maybe they're sick. Maybe they don't have another person. Maybe they don't have a spouse. No relationship, right? If you don't have somebody else. I mean, we're not like amoebas or anything where we can just spawn new things. We got to have somebody else, right? If I'm wrong on this, let me know. All right. So if we're sick and we don't have a relationship, how about we're too young? If we haven't reached maturity, right? You can't have a baby physically. Now here's the thing. What were the three characteristics of a carnal Christian? Too young, infant, continued sin and failure, sickness in his body, right? And no relationship with the Lord. A carnal Christian will not reproduce. But we are called to reproduce. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you. Are you reproducing? Do you have someone following after you? Do you have a gal that's following? Do you have a guy who's following? Are you teaching other people? Are you reproducing? We are called to reproduce. So are you? If not, maybe it's time to ask yourself why not. Maybe it's time to do a self-assessment. Where am I at? Am I spiritually immature? Am I a baby? Am I a baby? Do I have sickness in my body? Do I have sin that just continues in my life? Or do I not have a relationship with the Lord? This last one is important. All of them are important, but it's important that I want to bring up. At the beginning there, we started out right here, right? And what happened? We moved from not believer to believer. All too often, people think that's it. I know Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm done. Does that mean that he has a relationship with Jesus? No. It doesn't. If you've met somebody once, do you have a relationship with them? No. If you meet with somebody once a week, do you have a relationship with them? How many people are married? Sergeant Stewart, you are engaged. If you talk to your fiance once a week for 1 hour, would you guys still be getting married? Why not? Would you know each other? If you talk to your fiance every single day out of duty, and you called her and you said, "Honey, it's that time."
During duty.
During duty. So you call her every day, and you tell her, "Honey, we're going to have a good relationship, and so I'm checking the block. I'm calling you for today. Do you have anything we need to talk about?" That doesn't work? Why not? It's every day. Why doesn't that work? How about, "Honey, here's flowers. I'm supposed to do this to be a good man. Here you go. Flowers. Take them." Does that work? You don't have a relationship. The same thing is true with Jesus. Alright? When we come to Him and we say, "Jesus, I'm here. I know I'm supposed to do this. I hate this, but let's get it on. I got to read my Bible today." Wow. Great relationship. I give you. At least you're doing it. A lot of people don't even do it. However, you want a passionate, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? You need to treat Him like your lover. Treat Him like your wife. Treat Him like your husband. Love Him. Do the stuff with Him that you do with your spouse. Sneak out of work. Don't tell anybody you did it, but sneak out of work to go spend time with Him. I remember when I was dating my wife, and I would do that. I would meet her at places. We would sneak out. We were in love. Be in love with Jesus. You want a relationship? You want to move out of this? Fall in love with Jesus. That's how you do it. That's how you move. That's how you grow. That's important. Because if you don't do it, just like in regular life, if you don't fall in love with your spouse, you're not going to have a good relationship. If you don't fall in love with Jesus, you're not going to grow. You're going to stay an infant. And how odd is that? How odd would it be to hold a baby infant? You're holding this infant, right? And a year later, you come back and it's still an infant. Hey, let's take it back to the hospital. It's broken. The same thing's true with a Christian, carnal Christian. But we let it slip. We let it slide. We take the baby back to the hospital and get it fixed, but the carnal Christian, we let it go. He's just living like the devil. Not a big deal. This guy, the carnal Christian, he's not going to be able to receive spiritual fruit. He won't receive it. Because he can't. And if he doesn't receive spiritual truth, he will not grow. Period. That's it. But now, we've got spiritual Christian, right? Super Christian here. If this guy's an infant, then that means this guy's an adult, right? That guy couldn't feed himself. This guy does. This guy is getting into the Bible. He's reading the Word. And you know what? He doesn't need a chaplain or a pastor or a priest to feed him because he can feed himself. He still goes in fellowship and learns from a chaplain and learns from a pastor. He learns from everybody because he sees God everywhere because he's in love with the Lord and he learns everywhere he goes. But he doesn't need anyone else to feed him. He eats spiritual meat. He can take chunks that are beyond his brain capability of understanding, and somehow he gets it. He might not be able to re-explain it, because that would be difficult with our human mind, but somehow the Spirit makes him understand that meat, and he gets it. And him and God are connected. He's helping other people. He's called to reproduce, and he is reproducing. He's helping other people. Now, he might not be in relationship with disciples where he's training them up, but everywhere he goes, he's helping. Right? Jesus helped a lot of people everywhere he went. You see him helping people. He equipped a lot of people. He gave them some tools. He healed some people. He did some stuff with them. And he trained people. He had the 12, he had the 3, and he sent them out. And there's different levels of Jesus' ministry. And everywhere we go, we might not have relationships to train, but we can always help other people. Always help other people. And this guy is helping other people. To continue sin and failure? No. He continues to sin. Because we all sin. But he gets past the begetting sin. He beats his body into submission and doesn't give in to his carnal desires. The desires of the flesh. He lives for the Lord. And the third one, he's got a relationship with the Lord. He's got Galatians 5:22. Who knows the fruit of the Spirit? Yep. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So are those fruits of the good Christian? What do you think? What does Galatians 5:22 say? It says they're fruit of the Spirit. And it doesn't have an S on the end. That means it's a package deal. When the Spirit comes in, the Spirit produces those things. We don't do it. When I was living as a carnal Christian, and I did for so long, it's horrible, but I would read the fruit of the Spirit and make little check boxes like, today I need to work on love. Today I need to work on peace. And I would focus on them because I didn't understand that we don't do it, he does it. We put ourselves at the foot of the cross, we put ourselves in the presence of Jesus, and he works miracles in us. He transforms who we are. And all of a sudden, these actions, these fruits, start coming out in our lives that never used to come out because of him. This guy can receive spiritual truth. Somebody grab, check out 1 Corinthians 2:12. You guys are doing good. This is awesome. Okay. Great demonstrator.
We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may understand what God is speaking.
Yep. So we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, so that we can understand the things that God has freely given us. Right? So that means without the spirit, you don't understand it. With the spirit makes him understand it. And what happens when you start understanding and you're eating meat? You grow. Am I right? You grow. So, we've explained these two. We've got characteristics. We see what this looks like. We see what the carnal Christian looks like, and we see what the spiritual Christian looks like, and what it looks like in our lives. And I think we've got enough to do a self-assessment and say, I might be this, or I think I might be this. I've got the fruit in my life to show where I'm at. But here's the question. Here is the question. If you do a self-assessment and find yourself right here and you say, wow, every one of those characteristics is in my life. Even one of them, it's in my life. I'm probably a baby Christian. What do you do? Now what? How do you start growing? If you haven't started growing already, what do you got to do? If you've been here for years and years and years, how do you start growing? There's a change. There is a change that comes into play. Let me tell you. Let me offer this. Between these two, the cross. Now, let me explain something very carefully. This is salvation. These guys are both Christians. Both going to heaven. Okay? This one here does not represent salvation. This is salvation. Jesus died for us once and for all. He doesn't do it again. However, we've got something else right here. Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. Does he not? So all of a sudden, there's something else. Moving from this side to this side has three pieces. The first one is to recognize that you're a carnal Christian. When you recognize you're a carnal Christian, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we find ourselves over here, we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have not grown. I have not put myself close to you. I have not surrendered to you. I'm living for myself, and I'm sorry. That's the first step. The second step, or the second thing to understand, not a second step, because the second piece is that there's only one step. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified, spiritually we're talking, not climbing up on the cross and dying, but we're talking about our own desires. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That means the things that I desire in life, I don't do them anymore. I give up my own life, and I'm only living for you. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, somebody grab it, just in case. Romans 12:1 and 2. Okay. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The important part of Romans 12:1 is that it's a living sacrifice. It can get up off of the altar and walk away. So when we do this, it has to be a daily thing. Daily. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. And then Romans 2, the second verse to that, says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, pleasing will. That first part, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We're called to be different. We're called to be different. It's not about what you want. It's about what he wants. We were talking earlier about working out, getting in shape, and losing weight, and a diet, and all this stuff. And I can honestly say, it's just been fun for me. It's not about looking amazing or anything else. It started out as just a fun thing to do, get in shape. But this strict diet that I'm doing has taught me a lot spiritually. Because when I go in the chow hall and I see that awesome apple crisp, I think to myself, I would love to eat that. But I have worked too hard for this body where I'm at to eat it. I know my diet says no, so I'm not going to eat it. And the same concept has to be true in our lives as Christians. When we're faced with that spiritual temptation, that apple crisp that we know is wrong, we have to say, though I want to look at that on the internet, though I want to gossip about so-and-so, though I want to do whatever, I'm not going to. I've worked too hard on my relationship with Him to do that. It's not about us. It's all about Him, folks. It's all about Him. That is what this is. He tells us to take up our cross. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Every single day, we give up our own will. We don't live for ourselves. We live a 220 life. Every single day. It's not about us, folks. It's about Him. And when we get this concept in our minds, and we surrender to Him, we move to here. We start growing. You're still a baby when you get right here, but you're going to grow. And you start. There, you stay. Here, you start growing. That's how you move. You surrender your life to Him. Every aspect of your life. And we live a humble life of surrender. Now, this concept might be new to some of you. I know the two crosses, probably never heard it before. But I want you to do an honest assessment tonight. Are you stuck in the land between the two crosses? Are you stuck in this land between the two crosses? Are you living your life as a spiritual infant? Ask yourself that. Be honest. What is your fruit then? I've got a song that I want to play tonight. It talks about surrender. And what I want to do is offer. I want to offer up here. I know it might be embarrassing to get up and stand up in church, but guess what? We're living for Him. It's all right to be embarrassed. I brought some little crosses here that you can put in your pocket. If you find yourself living in the land between the two crosses, and you want to move over here tonight, you want to surrender your life, you want to take up your cross and follow Him starting today and do it every single day and take up your cross. I got one of these as a reminder. You can take it with you. You got a card. Put it in your pocket as a reminder. Whenever you stick your hand in your pocket, I'm taking up my cross today. And I'm going to follow Him. So, I'll leave these up here. Pray for the take. Search your heart. Listen to the words of this song. Speak to your heart. And this is open up here. I encourage you, come up, do business with God. Get on your knees in front of Him, and surrender your life.